Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want to talk about the Chiefs here, but I'm not going to lie to you guys. The Raiders' dysfunction is maybe one of my favorite stories right now in the NFL because it's like so bad. Like, well, it's not like,
I mean,
a little bit.
You enjoy failure.
Bad.
I mean, you enjoy it on the Family Feud. You enjoy it a lot of different places.
Survivor picks, too.
Especially when it's, like, self-inflicted if you're the Raiders. Like, you did this to yourself if you're them. Like, you tried to chase nostalgia, and it is biting you in your rear end right now if you were the Oakland Raiders. Like, it ain't going so hot right now. You probably need a new coach and a new quarterback. You can get out of the quarterback contract. You ain't get out of that coach contract for a very, very long time. Anytime we talk about the Raiders now, this is going to be the new rule. We have to play this audio. So any time going forward.
I bet I know what it is.
If we don't play this little bit of audio, call up and we'll give you a free pizza from the other place. Because I got to take responsibility for that. So if Specs got to be mad at me, that's on me. But every time moving forward, we talk about the Oakland Raiders, aside from like game conversations, because
sure,
like some, you can't just play it 17 times.
Got it.
We're going to play this.
All right, Lincoln, you watch this team, and you're a lot closer to this team than I am. I kind of ticked off our listeners because I made the proclamation that I think the Oakland Raiders are going to win the AFC West. I think John Gruden is an upgrade over Del Rio, and I think last year was an anomaly with Derek Carr. I like some of the moves they've made. I think they have the best offensive line in the division. I like their edge rushers. Your thoughts on how crazy I am thinking that the Raiders will win the division?
I think you are crazy.
Boy, Lincoln has a weird laugh, man.
Ron didn't get one thing right in that entire prognostication about the Oakland Raiders. It's so good. So John Gruden today, one of his players was unhappy. John Gruden said, quote, "Melvin is on his seventh team. Maybe he's confused about what technique he's using. He's frustrated. I can't blame him. He's a good team." Quote, "Let the Raiders fan know we're working hard. We've got a good group of guys, and we're going to be fun to watch." Tell me that doesn't sound like David Beatty. I'm serious. Speck, does that not sound like David Beatty? Fanning, does that not sound like David Beatty?
Say it. Give me the quote again.
"Let the Raiders fans know we're working hard. We have a good group of guys, and we're going to be fun to watch." You're telling me if you just took out Raiders and put Jayhawks right there,
yeah,
this couldn't be David Beatty from July?
No, that is David
Could
Beatty.
Absolutely that, be David
that,
Beatty.
That was David Beatty last week.
John Gruden, week. Quote, "I have been accused all my life of hating rookies and playing veterans. Well, now I'm playing 10 rookies. What do you say to that, America?" John Gruden is so bad.
There's a website out there, apparently. This is according to CBSSports.com. Is GrudenGoneYet.com. So now he's got the website cooking
he's
for him.
He's so bad at his job. John Gruden also went to say this about your guy. He's your guy now. I'm not claiming any responsibility
for
Derek Carr. No, I'm not claiming any responsibility.
I'll take Derek Carr.
I gave up on Derek
I
Carr.
I still believe in him.
I admitted that I was wrong on Derek Carr. Quote, "He is the strength of this football team. He is on my watch. I said it when I got here. If he doesn't play well, I've failed." Well, John, you ain't doing a great job because Derek Carr is terrible. Mm. You're doing an awful job if I can base your success on the success of Derek Carr. Because last time I saw Derek Carr, he was crying during the game. He was crying during a game.
You can't do that. You can't be crying during a game, man.
No, you cannot.
Because that's going to stick. I mean, that shot will stick forever, kind of like the butt fumble in Mark Sanchez. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be caught crying during a game.
No, you cannot be caught crying during the game.
Yeah, this website, by the way, is Gruden Gone Yet? All it has is a big no, and then it's got the counter of all the money that he's owed. And right now, he's still $92.247 million.
Yeah, that's
and it's got, like, a going ticker. Not big fans of old Chucky out there in Raiderland.
No, it's not going good
You think
all.
He got our card we sent him?
I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah, I didn't hear back. I didn't hear back from Coach Gruden.
That's a really, really good question.
Yeah.
Therese made a really good point about the doors that the Chiefs have in terms of fixing this defense. Like, you don't got to be John Madden or Bill Belichick to know the Chiefs defense is a problem.
Yeah.
They're on pace to give up the most yards in the history of the NFL.
It's a lot of yards.
I'm not telling you guys something you don't know about the Kansas City Chiefs, but I'm not a talk about problems guy. I'm a find solution kind of guy. Mm-hmm. There's two options for the Kansas City Chiefs. There's two legitimate options, or three legitimate options, mm-hmm, to me. Number one is trust Bob Sutton is the one to fix the problem. That's it. Because as much as you might want him to fire Bob Sutton, they ain't. Bob Sutton is going to be the defensive coordinator for the rest of 2018. Now, they could shock me and fire Bob Sutton. But if you didn't fire him after Indianapolis, you didn't fire him after Tennessee, you didn't fire him after Pittsburgh, I don't know what is making you fire him during the regular season this year.
Yeah.
Maybe they give up 70 points in a game, yeah, but I don't know what realistically you were doing or thinking that they are going to fire Bob Sutton. So I don't think that's realistic. So door number one is hope and trust that Bob Sutton can turn this thing around defensively. He'll start scheming up. They'll do some things completely differently, and he will Bill Belichick this team in the second half. If they're struggling right now, but by week 14, you can have a dependable, formidable defense. That's door number one. Door number two.
Like scale of 1 to 10.
In my level? Yeah. Two. Yeah. I don't really have a whole lot of hope in in Bob Sutton turning things around. Door number two, to me, is the hope and wish factor. You hope Eric Berry comes back. You wish Eric Berry comes back. You hope you get the old Justin Houston. You wish Justin Houston comes back 80, 90%.
What about Dirty Dan, dominant, too?
Yeah, Dan Sorensen is a very, very average player to me. I don't know why.
It was a joke.
Yeah. He's basically this white Eric Murray to me, if you want really what I think about Daniel Sorensen.
Well, he's hurt too.
He's
so,
just very, very average to me. That we spend way more time talking about Daniel Sorensen than like production on the field.
You got a guy named Dirty Dan. It's fun to say.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
So door number two to me is the wish and hope factor.
Yeah.
You wish and hope that Eric Berry come back. I'm not saying that's a bad strategy. But if you can add two potential all-pro players, and maybe they're not the same all-pro players they were.
Give me 70% of those
guys. But I would say significant improvement.
Yeah.
Getting Justin Houston back would be a significant improvement over Frank Zombo. Getting Eric Berry back, and I haven't seen him, so I could be wrong, but I'm going to go on a hunch that he is an improvement over what you currently have.
You think he'll practice tomorrow?
No, I don't think he's practicing at all tomorrow. Yeah. Like, Eric Berry is an improvement to the defense. And then door number three is you think that Brett Veach is going to be all in Dayton Moore style. You think that Brett Veach is going to dangle that first round pick out there and tell a team, we are in the business of buying a player right now. We were really interested in Earl Thomas. We thought we were going to have a deal in place for Earl Thomas. That deal fell through because Earl Thomas broke his leg. Hey, we're willing to take the contract that you don't want on your books right now. We're willing to do that, and believe me, it's NFL circles. If they want that message out there, teams will know that they are willing to move that first-round draft pick to make a significant help or piece on the defense. Those are the three options to me. It's trust in Bob Sutton, hope and wish factor when it comes to Eric Berry and Justin Houston, or Brett Veach dangles out two second-round picks or a first-round pick to make a significant play defensively, to add a guy on this roster that can improve this defense. Those are the options to me.
I think the only one that you can bank on is getting Eric Berry back. I just don't know when that's going to happen. I think it will happen. You will get Eric Berry, and you will get Justin Houston at some point in the season. I think they're going to wait as long as they possibly can to get Eric Berry back in there, because why do it right now? I mean, over the next month, I mean, the schedule lightens up dramatically. I know the Bengals game is, going to be a tough one on Saturday night. I think, you know, I've been on the Bengals for a little bit. I think it's a pretty good football team. They should have beat the Steelers. But over the next month, you've got the Bengals and Broncos at home. You're on the road with the Browns, and then you're home against the Cardinals. It's a pretty easy month. Like, there's no need to bring Eric Berry back for any of those games, in my opinion. More than likely, you're going to go 3-1 or 4-0 in those games. Eric Berry will be back. I think Justin Houston will be back. Bob Sutton ain't getting fired midseason. That ain't happening. And I think there's a really, really good chance that Brett Veach makes a deal. And I'm basing that a lot on the fact that they were so aggressive to try to get Earl Thomas when you knew the guy was going to be a free agent at the end of the year. So I guarantee you Brett Veach is working the phones trying to make something happen. Because if we're basing it on, if you're aggressive going after a dude that's going to be a free agent and you're going to rent a safety, I guarantee he's going after Patrick Peterson.
I got all the love and respect for Terrez Paylor in the world. I think you guys know this. But I'm calling a little bit of shenanigans on if they don't pick up a player at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
If they were so ready and willing to make that deal for Earl Thomas.
Then this is a no-brainer for Patrick Peterson.
And then they were so upset that they couldn't get Earl Thomas because he broke his leg. Earl Thomas is not the only defensive player that's available that can help this defense. He's not the only one out there. There's other ones. I'm not saying there's not a player that can help you the caliber that Earl Thomas is.
Sure.
He's one of the best. He's one of the top 20 defensive players in the NFL. I'm not saying you got to make that Earl Thomas kind of deal. But there are deals out there the same way you picked up Reggie Ragland last year when a team didn't like him. You traded a mid-round draft pick. If you were that willing to make a deal for Earl Thomas, there's another deal out there that you can make to improve this roster.
Yeah.
Find it. Tell me what the deal is.
Yeah.
You got picks. You got capital. You got stuff to play with. go out there and make an aggressive deal. That I've always said with Brett Veach, I don't really buy the aggressive stuff maybe the way everybody else does. The Mahomes thing, I'll give you that. I kind of think it was more Dorsey, but they've kind of spun it like Dorsey now had nothing to do with and all this stuff. I don't want to get into that. But, man, making a deal for Reggie Ragland ain't aggressive to me. Man, making a deal to go up and get Tano passing yo is not aggressive to me. You got a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. Be aggressive and make that kind of move. If you go pick up Patrick Peterson and you trade a first-round pick, that's aggressive.
Yeah.
Like Chicago to get Khalil Mack, that's aggressive.
Yeah.
We got a quarterback on a rookie contract. We want to pick up a top-five defensive player in the NFL to try to win a Super Bowl. That's an aggressive move. Reggie Ragland ain't aggressive to me. Patrick Peterson is aggressive. If Brett Veach is this big gambler and he's all in and he likes to play with draft picks and do all this stuff, you make a significant move to improve this roster. Not picking up 35-year-old Derek Johnson. I'm talking about pick up a 29-year-old cornerback who has Hall of Fame-type credentials. Yeah. That's an aggressive move to improve the defense.
Absolutely. It's Cueto and Zobrist. All in one. That's what it is. Because, again, I don't think that they thought the offense would be this good this quick. But it is. So now what are you going to do with it? You got to go out. You got to make a move. Brett Veach, if you're listening right now, and I know you probably have a son in your office, man, I hope you're working the phones, dude. Get Peterson here. Get somebody here. Do something on this defense. You don't have to be great. Every really good defense gets scored on. Just make it a little bit better. Go get Peterson. Do it.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest, and we'll take our biweekly stroll around the NFL next on The Drive. I can't believe they kicked old girl off the traffic, man. I'm starting to get used to her. I can't believe that. She was doing such a bang-up job. I can't
believe that. Sorry, guy Jay Edwards today came in and talked to me and spec for a little bit.
I can't believe that they got rid of her. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. We'll also play for you what Therese had to say about Derek Johnson. If you missed it, Derek Johnson has been cut by the Oakland Raiders. Would you like Derek Johnson back in Kansas City? We'll play for you what Therese had to say about that. And we'll talk about the Chiefs' inside linebacker position. For a team that's been as good at linebacker as the Chiefs have been over the last 10 years, we spent a lot of time talking about their inside linebacker position.
Yeah, too
much. I feel like for 15 years, we kept trying to find the guy opposite of Derek Johnson. Like, they tried out literally anybody. Like, they were kind of doing like the Royals are doing right now with, like, the hit for your tickets. They were trying that for inside linebacker. Like, if you had played inside linebacker at a high level, they were giving you a chance at inside linebacker opposite of Derek Johnson. It didn't really work out. And now they got Reggie Ragland, they got Anthony Hitchens, and we're still unhappy about inside linebacker. So we'll play for you what Therese Paylor had to say, and we'll also give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. And Fesco and Klingler, earlier today on Fesco in the Morning, had the funniest argument over Bob Sutton that you will ever hear in your entire life. It is so, so good. We'll play that for you coming up in 30
minutes. Was Bob listening or not?
It was so good. Like, you guys just got to hear it. We'll play that coming up in 30 minutes with Spec. Let's take our first trip this week around the league.
All right, yesterday on Colin Cowherd, which you can hear on 1660 The Score, he said that 9 teams can win the Super Bowl. Patriots, Chiefs, Chargers, Ravens, Steelers in the AFC. In the NFC, it's the Rams, Eagles, Saints, and Vikings. So 9 teams. He put the Panthers and the Packers on the outside looking in. Do you believe that there are 9 teams that could win the Super Bowl this year?
I actually think it's probably more than that. Like, you're telling me Carolina couldn't win the Super Bowl this year? You're telling me that Cam Newton, that won MVP a couple years ago, couldn't get hot again in that defense and their ability to run the football? So, yeah, I think Carolina can do it. I think he's kind of shortchanging it. I think right now, just based on there isn't a huge division between the good teams and the bad teams. Like, if we did a poll right now and asked you how many good teams do you think there are in the league, man, it'd be such a wide variance on what people think about the good teams in the NFL. So I think right now it's probably like 11 or 12 teams that could win the Super Bowl, and we won't have it whittled down to 9. It's maybe like week 11, week 12 this year.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati ought to be in there in the AFC. I think they got a legitimate chance. I know this is going to sound crazy. I don't think the Eagles – I'm not putting the Eagles in there. They're on the outside looking into me. I think that NFC East is weird. And the Redskins have a really, really good defense. And I know that sounds crazy. And how funny would it be if actually Alex Smith made a deep run on the playoffs after we went to the Washington Redskins?
Why ruin the segment with
that? No, I'm just saying. God, Spec, why do you have to do that, man?
You think the Redskins are winning the Super Bowl?
No, I'm saying they have a pretty good defense. They got a really, really good defense. They got a chance. And they got a crummy division, so I think they're definitely making the playoffs. And the NFC, and tell me who in the NFC is dominant right now, other than maybe the Saints and the Rams. I mean, that's really it.
I mean, there's no AFC team that's dominant, you know? Like, this just isn't that kind of year, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Skins have a shot, put it that way. I think the NFC East is awful.
football.
All right. Fanning's guy, Odell Beckham Jr. Very antiquated. I don't think that's the right word on the sidelines.
Yeah,
but
I think that's it.
His owner is
animated.
Animated. That's what I was looking for. Thank you very much. His owner, John Mara of the Giants, is not too happy with Odell Beckham Jr. Said this to ESPN's Josina Anderson. Quote, I wish he would create the headlines by his play on the field as opposed to what he says and what he does off the field. I think he needs to do a little more playing and a little less talking. Am I crazy to think this is just going to end sooner rather than later when it comes to the New York Giants and Odell Beckham Jr.?
No, not at all. Have you guys ever heard that quote, like when somebody tells you who they are, believe them? That's what I think of when I think of Odell Beckham. You didn't know who Odell Beckham was? You didn't know that Beckham was going to do interviews with Lil Wayne with Josina Anderson on ESPN? I could have told you that before you gave him the money. Like, I pay attention. I'm starting to think that they ain't got internet or Google in New York. I thought they did.
I think they do.
Like,
yeah.
You ain't got Twitter. You ain't got Instagram.
I got some 5G internet up there.
Like, you didn't know what was going on with Odell Beckham. You didn't know this was part of the package. And when you signed Odell Beckham, you knew the deal. And John Mara, you signed up to give him $60-something million guaranteed. You knew what was up when you signed Odell Beckham. I think what's happening right now with the New York Giants is they don't want to blame Eli Manning for the problems, so they blame everybody else for the problems instead of admitting. They have a bottom five quarterback in the NFL. Eli Manning is the biggest problem with the Giants. Great guy, going to be in the Hall of Fame right now. He's in the first royal family of the NFL, but he ain't good at playing quarterback in 2018. He was in 2008. He ain't good in 2018, though.
Which is why I was the only guy on the show when they benched him last year, and you're like, oh, Eli's being treated poorly. No, they're not.
I just didn't like how they handled him.
Well, I don't care how they handled it. He was awful. He was awful. He needed to be benched. And I don't mind John Mara saying this. And maybe it's just because we have an owner that doesn't really say much, and when he does, it's very generic and very bland. Man, you're paying this guy. How much are they paying Odell Beckham?
A lot of money.
Okay. Then the owner's got the right to say, hey, man, cool it. You're getting your ass kicked on the football field right now. Just cool it for a little bit.
I just think, I guess I'm just saying is you knew that when you signed up for Odell Beckham. You know what I mean?
Like,
you
I get that part of it, too.
Like, if you didn't want this part of Odell Beckham, you shouldn't have signed it. You should have just let him walk in free agency. Yeah, like, one of my favorite quotes in life is you can't really put the toothpaste back in the tube. You've signed up for all Odell Beckham's antics and all the extra stuff that he does. Like, you can't be mad at it now that now your team's not good. Like, you knew that when you signed up.
It's one thing to talk when you're really good, and we saw this with Jalen Ramsey. It's another thing to talk when you're not. And the Giants aren't right now, so I kind of get where the owner's coming
last
from.
Last year they wasn't good, and Odell Beckham was doing the exact same stuff.
I know, but
he was out here
tired of
goalposts, and he was doing all that stuff.
Well, squirrel.
Shouldn't have paid him if that was the case. Should have walked away from the deal.
Football!
We'd love to have the who's the best team in the NFL conversation, but since we're talking about the Giants, who's the worst team in the NFL?
The Raiders.
Who's going to get that number one overall pick?
The Raiders.
What are you stealing my thunder for?
The Raiders are the worst team in the NFL. The Giants at least appear to have guys that, like, still want to win. Like, Saquon, I think, still wants to win. Odell still wants to win.
Cardinals?
The Raiders are an organization that aren't pulling in the same direction. They don't appear to be very functional. They don't appear to be very well-read. They don't really appear to have a whole lot of hope right now if you're the Oakland Raiders. Yeah, they're the worst team in the NFL.
I think the Raiders are the worst because they're the most dysfunctional right now. Like, I'm giving the Niners a pass. I know they're 1-5, but they lost Jimmy Garoppolo, and they were in it until the last second last night in Green Bay. But, yeah, the Raiders are a mess. They're dysfunctional. They're cutting guys. Their quarterback's crying. Khalil Mack's a bear. John Gruden's a mess. Yeah, it's the Raiders. Not even close. And that makes me feel good, too. I got to be honest with you.
Text line 69.
I love when the Raiders suck.
Text line 69306. One texter, are we falling for the Chargers again? Another texter.
That's your ghost phone.
Is anyone concerned about the Los Angeles Chargers? First game jitters. I don't know if that's a team that has first game jitters. Wide receiver couldn't catch, but they would have won that game if they could catch. Now they're only one game back in the West. They're putting up 30 points a game and have a much better defense than we do. I didn't want to bring it up. I didn't want to talk about it. I would be worried if I'm the Chargers.
Oh,
I'd be worried
of
the Chargers.
Stop it.
Here's what just happened. Carrington texted the text line.
I saw him texting a minute ago.
Second phone.
Yeah.
So he could bring up that the Chargers have won 3 in a row.
Or you know what he did? He texted somebody to text the text line.
No, I didn't do that. I watched the NFL. Their only two losses this year are to two of the three best teams in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Rams.
Carrington.
I'm not saying that they're going to win the AFC West, but to discredit the Los Angeles Chargers and what they have accomplished to me is silly.
Carrington.
They are just a light version of the Chiefs, a team that can score a lot of points and can't guard anybody. They're the Kirkland version of the Chiefs.
Carrington, What do the Chargers do every year?
All right.
They start off sucky.
But they had it this year, though.
Well, I mean, they start off looking bad, which they did a little bit this year. Then they start playing well, and they're like, ooh, the Chargers, the hot new team. Ooh, I think the Chargers are going to win the division. I think the Chargers got a chance. Man, they're going to come into Kansas City. They're rolling. They're going to take that. And then they get smoked. I'm not buying the Chargers, man. I'm not buying the Chargers one bit at all.
I don't know why you do this to yourself.
Okay.
I'm trying to help you, man.
Okay. You guys can say that about them.
I'm here for you.
They've got a big game this week against Tennessee on a neutral site. They win that game. Man, they're 5-2, and their only losses are to the Chiefs and the Chargers, and then they got a bye week. Maybe you guys aren't ready to have the Chargers conversation.
No, I'm
not. I understand you got to be ready to have the conversation. But you admit, if they beat Tennessee,
okay,
and then they have a bye week to put them to 5-2, we got to have a conversation about the Chargers.
Maybe.
Do you agree with that?
Maybe.
I mean, a team in your division is 5-2. That feels talk about worthy.
I mean, the Titans have a really good defense, but good defenses get 40 hung on them every week.
Okay, I guess I'm saying.
Where's that the London game?
I know who the Chargers have beaten this year.
They beat the Browns.
They beat Josh Allen.
They beat the Raiders.
They beat CJ Beathard. That's right, CJ Beathard.
I believe it's pronounced Beathard.
Derek Carr and Baker.
Okay.
And that's their four wins?
Okay. And then I'm looking at the rest of their schedule, and there aren't good. Like, the AFC's not that good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like their schedule's drastically different than the Chiefs' schedule. Their schedule's about the same between those two teams. Now, it's a couple difference. But, I mean, 14 of the games for the Chiefs and the Chargers are the same because they're in the same division. They got more bad quarterbacks to go. They got Marcus Mariota. They got two games against, or they got another game against Derek Carr. They got Case Keenum. They got Josh Rosen left. They got Andy Dalton.
Talk to me on December 13th.
Okay.
When they come to Arrowhead.
Okay. Okay.
And then they got to follow that up with the Ravens out in their soccer stadium.
Okay. And someone said the division is over. I'm not saying I'm picking the Chargers to win the division, but to discredit that the Chargers could win 10 games and be a thorn in the Chiefs' side to me just feels a little foolish given the fact that they could win double digit games this year.
At Arrowhead, December 13th.
But I'm willing to have the conversation after they go to 5-2 and then they have a bye week and then we can have an honest conversation about the Los Angeles Chargers. Right. Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest and we'll play for you what Terrez Paylor had to say about the Chiefs and Derek Johnson. He just got cut from the Raiders. Do you want him back? Let's do it. It's a drive. In on the drive, Carrington here, Fanning here, Spectre here. There's nothing that unifies the text line more than my belief in the Los Angeles Chargers.
Like, I haven't heard much about them lately. I think that's I didn't know how much you believe them.
Like when I kind of point to the fact that they're 4-2, and if they beat Tennessee, they'll be 5-2 with the bye week and getting Joey Bosa back. Maybe we should have a conversation about the Chargers. I'm all about you. Like, this is a divisive time in America that if I can bring people together by thinking the Chargers can be all right, then I'm doing my part. I'm doing my one big thing.
Spec, can I ask you something? I know you have a legal pad back there. When's the last time the Carrington brought up the Chargers? Because I don't remember that.
September 7th, 2018?
That's it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, and I said they could win 11 games, and they could win 11 games.
5 weeks ago.
I have to do the cash contest, or Spectre will be very, very mad at me. Text the word slice.
He's always mad.
S-L-I-C-E, slice, 272-881.
Like the drink?
Yeah, or like a orange slice.
Yeah, slice of
pie. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win 1,000 on the 30s, there's only one station in Kansas City that's giving you both weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
What? Excuse me?
Slice, S-L-I-C-E, slice to 72881. While we were all unified talking about the Chargers maybe being better than people thought.
Great job on spelling today, by the way.
I don't want to bring that up to people. I don't want to upset them. I don't want to anger them. Okay. I want to play for you guys what Terrez Paylor had to say about the idea of bringing Derek Johnson back to the Kansas City Chiefs. For the record, I actually don't think Derek Johnson's coming back. He's 35 years old. I don't know if Derek Johnson is a significant upgrade for the Chiefs. I think that Derek Johnson, it's over, and I think he probably knows that it's over. I think the Chiefs are probably realistically the only situation that he would take. If the Chiefs don't take Derek Johnson back, I don't think he's signing up for Buffalo. I don't think he's signing up for Jacksonville.
I don't know, man. The dude loves football, loves the game. This guy's a 35-year-old inside linebacker that's blown two Achilles, and he went out to Oakland to play. I mean, at the end of last year when the Chiefs cut him, that would have been a good time to hang it up. He went to Oakland. So I'm not buying that. I think he loves playing football more than we know.
I think he loves playing football too. But you and I, whenever he signed the deal with Oakland, we knew that wasn't going to work out. Yeah. Like those deals never work out. 35-year-old inside linebacker that's injured and banged up.
Yeah.
That was not going to have a fairy tale. Like, football is not one of those things you have a fairy tale ending for. It normally ends because you're too old to do it, and the league tells you you're too old before you acknowledge it. I got all the respect in the world for Derrick Johnson. That seems to be the case right now. It's over. I'm sorry, it's done. Go home. Be a family man. You got beautiful kids. You got a wife. Go live in Austin.
He'll coach somewhere.
And do something with your life. But coming back to the NFL, I don't think it's going to work. But this is what Tourette said, because a lot of you would like Derrick Johnson. And I get it. Knows the system. You can plug him in. He's a future Chiefs Hall of Famer. He's going to be in the Ring of Honor. This is what Tourette Paylor thinks about the idea of bringing Derrick Johnson back to the Chiefs.
So the thing you got to think about here is that I think it's something that could or probably even should happen if they suffer like an injury to the core. Because like at this point, you know, remember, like, you don't just sign backup linebackers to be backup linebackers. Like, whoever you have as a backup inside linebacker needs to play special teams, too. That's, like, a really important job description as a number three or number four inside linebacker, is a guy who can be, like, a core special teamer. So if you brought in DJ, just in my opinion, it'd be as, okay, Reggie Ragland's knee is killing him. He's on IR. Then it's like, oh, okay, DJ. Or, like, Anthony Hitchens, if Hitchens is hurt. And he needs to go on short-term IR. He needs to sit. Then it would make sense, right? You make Ben Neiman give up the number, right? But, like, the thing is that, you know, I don't know. Like, the Raiders don't have, like, a good defense. And maybe they're going younger. I don't know. But this was a guy Gruden signed. So I think that DJ's presence in a room could be very helpful. I think from a starting perspective, though, the Chiefs paid Anthony Hitchens, like, a lot of money. Like, you need that. You need production. Like, that. You can't just, like, flush it. He's going to play. He's going to keep playing. You gave up an asset for Ragland, too. Like, you need those guys to produce. And the only way I could see, like, you know, DJ from a productivity, you know, standpoint being an upgrade is if, like, one of those guys gets hurt. And now you need, like, a seamless transition. If that's what happens, I get it. And if it happens before that, that means that they have seriously misjudged their all inside linebacker talent.
Therese, I at least feel like you have to bring him in for a workout at this point. Like, your inside linebacker position is just not solidified enough for you at least not to bring in Derrick Johnson, workout, see how he feels, and then see if it's a good fit for you, because this is probably it for Derrick Johnson. If he doesn't get picked up by Kansas City, I just don't see Carolina picking him up or another team. This is it. To me, you at least have to do your, you know, homework on this and at least bring him in for a workout.
I mean, you've already done your homework on Derrick. You had him for, like, you know, was it 12 years, 13 years or something? Like, you know what the guy is. And you, more importantly, like, it's not like he didn't play. He has played, like, this paper him. Yeah, you could bring him in. But like, it's not like you need to find out what kind of guy he is. Like, you know what kind of guy he is. He's a special guy. He's respected in the room. He had a really good influence on Ragland. But from, like, from the standpoint of, like, making this defense better, like, you paying Anthony Hitchens, like, a lot of money. Like, I don't know if he's playing hurt. I don't know. You know, I've seen a lot of consternation about the inside linebacker play, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, you got to get more production from the spot from the guy you're paying. You know, like, there's not going to be, like, a savior at this point of the year.
Talking to senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, Therese Paylor. To me, it sounds like, and I hadn't thought about that until you brought it up, Therese, but if you're needing a backup linebacker to be special teams guy, that's not Derrick Johnson. If that's the case, there's probably not going to be a home for him anywhere in the league. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me.
Pretty much. But that doesn't, again, the only thing that changes with that is that guys get hurt. It's a physical league, even still. So, like, if somebody gets hurt and you need a starting caliber player, if you want an IR, guess what? 56 seen a lot of ball. If you let him run and chase, he can help you. If you let Derrick Johnson run and chase, he can help you, right? But, you know, that's as a, you know, 3-4, you know, will, as maybe even a 4-3. Will in, like, the right situation, you know. This is a passing league, and you got to be able to move. You got to be able to sprint now.
Yeah.
You got to be able to cover. And, you know, this is a young man's game, inside linebacker. But let me tell you this, though. If they bring him in for a workout or they sign him, there's no doubt about the man. And honestly, there's no doubt about his ability to help, like, in certain situations. Yeah. But you guys are killing the defense, as you should. They're not, like, great, but – you know, the only path to the defense getting better this year is through a trade for, like, a stud, or, you know, the inside linebackers you've got right now getting better. That's it.
So that was Therese Paylor on the show earlier today talking about Derek Johnson and potentially coming back to Kansas City. I'll be very interested to see what happens over the next couple of days. This feels like a Frank Zombo situation. If he's healthy and ready to play, there's not going to be a whole lot of transition. Nate Orchard, man, it's difficult to come into a system in the NFL and instantly join a roster and insert yourself and really know what's up to speed. So I'm not really surprised that Nate Orchard wasn't active in the game, and we'll see what happens with him moving forward. Frank Zombo knows the system, veteran guy on this team. Easy to just say, hey, come back in here. You know this stuff. We don't got to teach you a whole lot. We can just plug and play you. It would be the exact same thing for Derek Johnson. If they bring Derek Johnson in, it's kind of, to me, not waving the white flag, but acknowledging there's some serious problems in your inside linebacker core and you need a little bit of help. Derek Johnson, the guy you can plug right in. And, I mean, it is, I mean, not admitting you got some things wrong with Derek Johnson, but you did cut him and then say you had to get younger and faster at the position. Man, signing out that's 35 years old is not getting younger or faster at the position.
Let me throw a couple of things at you. How about this? I believe Reggie Ragland's hurt. I think he's still battling that knee injury. I think that's part of it. And what if you sit Reggie Ragland, make him inactive for a couple of weeks, give him a chance to get rested, get healthy for the push towards the playoffs, and you can plug DJ in there. Like, that would be an option for me. That's one thing. The other thing, too, when it comes to bringing in a linebacker or something like that, that ain't going to happen. Midseason, there's no way. But I do think at the corner position, and we've been talking about Patrick Peterson potentially trading for him today, that's one of those on the defense you can just kind of plug and play for the most part. See guy, cover guy. I mean, Bob Sutton likes to play a lot of man-to-man. Hey, see that guy out there? Cover him. Okay, got it. You know, I mean, I think you can plug and play with a corner a lot better than you can with a linebacker. Now, if you want to bring DJ in, I think your only option is to sit Reggie Ragland down for a while. Get him healthy.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, and maybe Reggie Ragland is banged up.
I think he is.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying is, man, that would be – that's admitting you made a pretty big mistake with Reggie Ragland. Not traded for Reggie Ragland?
Not if he's hurt.
I mean, maybe he's not productive.
If he's not hurt, then they messed up.
I kind of feel like sometimes in the NFL, our excuse when a guy isn't good, he just might be hurt. Like, maybe Reggie Ragland just isn't as good as we thought he was. Like, yeah. And maybe that's just the case of Reggie Ragland. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say that I know I'm evaluating inside linebacker position. I'm just saying is Reggie Ragland's 24 years old. Derek Johnson, 35 years old. If you think that Derek Johnson's an improvement over them, then you messed up on Reggie Ragland and you evaluated something poorly.
But you're also putting another coach on the field, too, if you bring Derek Johnson back in, which isn't a bad thing on this defense right now.
Coming up in just a bit, Fesco and Klingler had one of the funniest arguments you will ever hear earlier today. It is so funny. Please listen to it. Coming up is The Drive. Back in on The Drive, Carrington here, Fanning here, Spectre here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. So earlier today on Fesco in the Morning, they were talking about Bob Sutton, who is dividing homes and families right now.
I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I see where you're going with it.
I mean, he divided Fesco in the Morning's home earlier today.
There's a family.
I'm going to play for you the part of their argument. It's a long argument. If you want to hear it, check out the podcast page. Listen to Fesco and Kling go back and forth about Bob Sutton.
1,000 on the 30s. Yeah. Text the word pepper.
Who wants the money?
I'm salty, but it's pepper. P-E-P-P-E-R to 72881. That's pepper to 72881.
You want Britt Reid as your defensive coordinator?
No, I don't. I want a new one in the offseason. You could be
the thousand. So
then
why are we talking about this now?
Because you... Well, we'll pick it up on the other side. You're not listening, Bob. Typical. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest.
You're not listening.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh,
you want Chiefs and a chance to win $1,000 on the 30s? Well, only one station in Kansas City can give you that weekdays between 7 and 7, and only one host can give you sunshine all the time. It's Fesco.
Fesco wasn't listening, was he?
Fesco or Kling where he says, Bob, you're not listening.
You're not listening, Bob. Typical.
Typical. Is the most relationship response to somebody I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, you got to really give Kling a lot of credit. Now, I love Fesco, great guy. But can you imagine waking up every day at 4 o'clock and your main objective when you wake up is to come in and talk to Bob Fesco? Sometimes Bob rubs you the wrong way. I get that. I understand it. Bob would even admit to you what I'm saying.
You think his wife fakes like she's still asleep when he goes to
the... You're not listening, Bob. Typical.
Absolutely. Like the way Kling says typical, you can tell he's fed up.
You're not listening, Bob. Typical.
Typical. He's so mad. Which then got me thinking, whenever I heard Kling say, "You're not listening, Bob.
You're not listening, Bob." Typical.
It really, and then this whole part about sunshine all the time. You can tell Kling was fed up now at this point.
And only one host can give you sunshine all the time. It's Fesco.
He sounded like Jack Harry. It's Fesco. So, it got me thinking of what are the trigger words that people can say in an argument?
Yeah.
Because you can tell that Kling had been triggered by something that Fesco was saying.
Yeah.
Because his "you're not listening" typical is the thing your wife would say
in the middle
of an argument.
Typical.
But I want to know what are the trigger words in an argument. I'll start it off. I'll be honest here. I have heard more than anything, "I just don't know why you can't talk to me. I don't know why you just can't open up about things and talk. But I'm not trying to talk right now about this."
Well, to be honest, it's not one of your strengths, C-Dot. I mean, that's a fair thing.
Yeah, I'm with you because I'm not trying to.
You're not listening, Bob. Typical.
I'm one of those. So that's something that I've heard a lot in arguments. Like, that's one of the trigger words to me.
Well, maybe it's a common thread with some of your relationships. Maybe you ought
to
examine
that's why I try to avoid them and stay out of them as much as I can. That's exactly why I try to stay away from them. But every person that has been in a relationship, there are some words and things that she will always say in the middle. He or her, whoever it is.
Yeah.
That will always say in an argument.
Yeah. You're not hearing me. I think that's a classic. Like, "You're not hearing me." You know, and then I'll go with, "Listen, I'm not looking for a fight here. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, find a solution."
But see,
that never works.
That seems a little bit passive aggressive.
But it's not, though. So that's why I don't say it anymore, because that's the way it comes off.
I know, but when you say, "I'm not looking to fight here," lets her kind of know.
I'm trying to defuse the situation.
This could be confrontational.
Which is why I'm trying to defuse it.
That's kind of like the "I don't mean any disrespect, but." Like, that's kind of what that sounds like. Like, "I don't mean to fight, but I'm going to bring something up that could potentially bring a fight."
It's one of those things where I'm like, I know this could go one of two directions, and I'm trying to keep it from going that direction, but it never works, so I don't say that anymore.
I mean, "You're listening to me. You're not hearing me." Yeah. That's what's happening right now. You're listening.
Yes.
You're not hearing what I'm telling you right now.
Yes.
You're not listening, Bob.
Yeah.
Typical.
Yeah.
How about you don't get it?
Oh, that's a good one.
You don't get it.
You just don't get it. You just don't get it, Steven. How many times do you hear that a week in your place?
Not a lot.
Yeah. Monthly?
Seems about right. I don't like talking about serious things, so that's when it comes up.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Somebody put, "It's whatever." Anytime your girlfriend says "it's whatever."
Yeah, it's not whatever.
It's never whatever.
No, it's never.
It's never whatever in that situation.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody, another one. Oh, and another thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if she says "oh" and another thing, just sit back down.
Because
like,
you kind of
think
the
coast is clear.
If it's "oh" and another thing, that means it's something from about 6 weeks ago that's not even on your radar. It's going to start a completely different argument.
I've got a very, very underrated thing that people say. The "you don't care about anything I say" is always a very, very solid one.
Yeah, that's bad.
Though. Like I try to tell you things, you just don't care.
Yeah, yeah. How about this one too? Just relax. Like, just relax. Which you always get the opposite response from that. And here's what I get sometimes. Why do you joke about everything? You know, because I'm kind of like specking that. Like, I try to make a joke to kind of diffuse the situation, which never works, ever, at all.
Another good one is, "that's all you got to say" is a really good one. Like, you feel like you said everything you needed to say, and then they hit you with this, "so that's it? That's all you got to say about it?" And you're like, "yeah, there was more."
Here's another one, too. This is another one, and this doesn't come from my wife at all, but I got a buddy that does this all the time. "Well, at least I didn't, you know." What drops the old "well, at least I didn't," you know, and then it's going down another direction. It's deflecting. You know what I'm saying, C-Dot?
No, I'm with you. Text line 69306. "What about you don't ever listen?" That seems like a lot more serious than that. No, that one's like a
really... it is what it is. That's a good one.
Oh, it is what it is.
Yeah, that means like I'm just done fighting with you right now and you're wrong.
Whenever somebody says that, I don't even like really know what that means in that scenario.
It means they're done fighting and you're not listening.
Kind of like with me in meetings, like the moment you say you want to talk about something, I instantly shut down.
And only one host can give you sunshine all the time. Like, it's Fesco.
I instantly shut down once you say, "I just want to talk about something." Because I imagine this is going to be A, really long, and it's not going to be like whenever somebody says, I just want to talk about something, it's never for 5 minutes.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
It's normally a really long thing.
Yeah.
And if it's involving a woman, it's likely going to be really emotional. Like, it's not going to be like, I want to talk to you about something really quick. Hey, what should we eat later on? It's normally something very serious. I just shut down. I can't do it. Like,
you,
I can't.
You're just done?
I can't do it in this kind. I don't
How would you prefer to be approached when it comes to a touchy subject?
I don't know. I just don't. I'd rather not talk about it. Like, most of the time, we can just figure it out independently. Like, just say, hey, I don't like that you did X, Y, and Z. Oh, okay, yeah, cool. Like,
that's not how it works.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's why. That's exactly why I try to avoid these scenarios.
You're not listening, Bob. Typical.
Just the way he said typical.
Is the sunshine thing, is that like a thing?
You could tell that Klingler was fired up.
Yeah.
You could tell that Klingler was fired up about
this. We just talked
scenario.
About this. That's another one, too.
Oh, we just talked about this.
Yeah, that's another one.
I don't know why I have to tell you this all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I hate? This I've really got to get by. I got triggered by this. This is my least favorite thing about women. Like, legitimately, your wife or girlfriend can say you do something all the time, and then you ask her, when?
Yes.
She will look at you like you just asked the greatest question of all time, and then she will just, she will lose her ability to speak English. She'll be like, you do this all the time. Like, when? She'll get mad at you for asking for an example in that scenario.
Or like, you always do.
And then you'll be like, give me an example. What are you talking about? She will get mad at you for asking for an example. Then she'll be like, you know what I'm talking about. No, I don't know what you're talking about. That's why I asked you for an example. Just forget about it then. All right. I mean, I was trying to learn in this scenario. I was trying to improve, and you didn't help me. This segment maybe didn't help me, but I felt really good to get that last one off the chest. I mean, every guy's been in that scenario where she tells you you always do something, and then she can't give you an example of what you always do, and then she gets mad at you for asking for an example. Everybody's been in that scenario.
Not in my marriage, but other guys. I've heard that.
Spectre, I know that's happened to you. Coming up in 2 minutes, we will get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Hopefully you're listening. Typical on the drive.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.